Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, British Summer Time. Today is March 28th. So, in Asia this morning, the Chinese market was really quite weak. It continues to pull back, having encountered resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. It's for the bulls to prove now that a clear upper dynamic is really required to suggest that demand is returning to dominance. The Indian market is beginning to also require upward dynamics to indicate that demand is back in the driving seat. The banking sector had led to the upside. It has lost momentum. The index is in the region of the 200-day moving average. It needs to continue to find support in the current area for the medium-term upside to continue to be given the benefit of the doubt. So it is for the bulls to prove we do need those upward dynamics. In the rest of Asia, Australia was a little bit weaker today, although it has been particularly firm over the last few days. It's been led higher by the banking sector, and the banking sector in Australia has probably been tracking the index for the last couple of years. It's had a pretty difficult time of it, and the fact that it's outperforming is a positive. It's one of the things we look for when we're looking at recovery potential for a market. Our contention that the Australian stock market would respond well to weakness in the Australian dollar has proved correct in the last couple of weeks. The Australian dollar has been pulling back. It's back below the $1.05 level. And while it's still one of the stronger currencies globally, there is there are rumors going around that there's going to be an interest rate cut, and that has obviously been welcomed by the stock market as well. Elsewhere in Asia, the majority of markets were relatively quiet. The majority in Europe were down by approximately 1%. The Spanish index was down almost 2%. Into the close on Wall Street, the Dow and the SP and the Nasdaq, they all paired their declines. They were all down in the region of 1%. They paired their declines and finished down around half of 1%. Government bond prices were close to 100, or US Treasuries, 30-year Treasuries, were close to 139 earlier on today. They closed out the day closer to the 138. We've had a good bounce in those government bond markets. They had broken down from those overhead top formations. They'd become a little bit oversold in the short term. They've retraced a good part of that decline. They're at the first area of potential resistance at the lower side of the overhead trading range. It now is for the bears to prove. If we start to see downward dynamics in this area, it will confirm medium-term top formation completion. And then there is that would open up the potential for a significant decline in prices, because yields are so remarkably low. There is quite a lot of room for yields to rise. Gold was a bit weaker in here today. It was down by about $20. It's having been up above the $1,700 area for the last couple of days. It's back in the region of $1,660. Crude oil prices were also a bit weaker in here today. Natural gas is down to $2.26. In the industrial metal complex, copper remains comparatively firm, but nickel has been trending lower over the last couple of weeks. Lead is also particularly weak. And in the soft commodities sector, corn was quite weak yesterday, relatively unchanged today. Soybeans remains the relative strength leader. Rough rice broke upwards yesterday, and that does look like it has further to go on the upside. If we do see a surge in rough rice prices, that will have an inflationary impact in Asia, and it will probably deter some of those countries from cutting interest rates further. I've posted a rather extensive review of autonomies in Comment of the Day today. What's quite evident is that a significant number of them have become really quite overextended relative to any trend mean one could possibly choose, and they are at risk of at least a pullback and potentially a mean reversion. A mean reversion can take a number of shapes. It can pull back sharply and find support and build support in the region of the MA. Or it can lose momentum and allow the MA to catch upwards and then pull back a bit sharply towards the end of the consolidation. But what we can say is that when a mean reversion begins, and you can take previous reversions that we've seen in a number of those charts, they do lead to increased volatility and to a period of uncertainty. All of these shares are best bought once they've demonstrated that they found support in the region of their 200-day MAs following those pullbacks. The other important aspect to that autonomy sector that we've been developing for at least the last 9 months is that an increasing number that have perhaps lagged in the last 3 months are now completing comparatively lengthy periods of consolidation. And that suggests that we could be in for a rotational move within the sector. Companies such as Coca-Cola haven't been doing much of anything for the last few months, but is now hitting new highs. Nike, which had been one of the real trendsetters in the last 3 months, posted a large downward dynamic and formed a weekly Q reversal last week, and the odds are strongly in favor of that pulling back toward the 200-day moving average. So there is the potential for some rotation. Certainly some of the big cap healthcare shares are breaking out of multi-year ranges. In the consumer sector, there is also the potential for those shares to turn to outperformance. Looking at a company like Heinz, which has been ranging in the region of an almost decade-long consolidation, it's been ranging here in the region of the upper side for the last few months. With an upward bias, it looks more likely than not that it's going to be able to sustain a breakout from that lengthy period of consolidation. So it remains a sector that's pregnant with long-term potential, but we also have to be aware of the fact that when something does become wildly overextended relative to the mean, that it's the closest thing we get to a mathematical law in the markets that they are going to pull back at some point. And the more overextended that they become, then the greater the possibility is that there's going to be a lengthier pause in consolidation, that it isn't just going to take a couple of weeks, that it could take months or perhaps even upwards of a couple of years to unwind that overbought condition, because it exhausts the available demand for that particular instrument in a comparatively short period of time. When we look at what's happening in the government bond markets, there is the potential that the 30-year bull market in prices and bear market in yields is coming to an end. That will put a premium on yield as government bond yields start to rise, and those autonomies that offer access to the growth of the global consumer, that have strong cash flows and a long history of increasing their payouts, should offer a competitive way of maintaining purchasing power in an inflationary environment or an environment where interest rates are beginning to rise. Today will be my last audio before heading out to the USA. I'm greatly looking forward to it. I've only been to the US once before. That was back in 2004. I've never been to the West Coast, so I'm greatly looking forward to it. I'll be doing a number of interviews out there. I think I'll be interviewed by Jim Poplava for his Financial Sense radio program again next week, and that will probably be aired on Friday. I'll be commenting in Comment of the Day tomorrow, and I'll be back in the office on April 26th or 27th. And with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.